McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1800 50 11 11. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
I want to talk about Irish farmers. We don't give them enough airtime, really, do we? So if you're a farmer, this may be of interest to you, and I want you to call into the show and let us know what the solution to this problem is. The new CSO figures just released reveal that almost two-fifths of farm holders in Ireland are over retirement age. So they're over the age of retirement. The average age of a farm holder or a farmer is 59 years of age. We used to say farmers, but that seems to be a male term. So now they want to include females, so they say farm holder. It's kind of saying that you can call a female a farmer, can't you, as well? Anyway, only 4.3% of farmers in Ireland are under the age of 35. That's a tiny percent under the age of 35. The number of farmers in Ireland has dropped 5% in 10 years. That's not a huge drop, but it's a drop nonetheless. It should be increasing. But what's the solution to this? Because clearly young people don't want to be farmers for numerous reasons. The money isn't good enough. It's too much like hard work for young people, isn't it? The young generation of today, they don't want to get their hands dirty. They don't want to wrap their little hands around a cow's tit, start pulling it for milk. You know what I mean? They don't want to be out at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, getting with the dairy cows or, you know, bringing in the cattle or the sheep or whatever, shearing the sheep or whatever you have to do. I don't know what they do on farms. Picking eggs out of the henry. It's not called a henry, is it? No. Anyway, they don't want to be doing all of that. They want to be sitting behind a computer, tapping little buttons and going, give me €100,000 a year. But as we've seen from the CSO figures, the numbers of farms is generally dropping. The number of farmers, it's one of our biggest industries. It's one we should protect with all our lives. Our dairy industry is huge. Our meat industry, Ireland is renowned for having the best meat in the world. Sorry, vegans. We're renowned for it. No matter where you go in the world, you will not get a steak like you'll get in Ireland. You'll not get lamb like you get in Ireland. You won't get pork and sausages and rashers like you'll get in Ireland. You just won't. Irish farmers, they're like the forgotten. We just take them for granted. And they're getting pittance. We mentioned the other night, by the way, when that steak arrives on your plate in the afternoon, who makes money out of that, you know, 450 sirloin piece of steak? Well, Tesco's and Dunn's or whoever you bought it off are making a fair whack off it. The driver in the haulage company who brought it there to Tesco's, they're making a huge whack off it. The packaging company that packed it are making a huge whack off it because there's hardly any butchers left. And then the abattoir that prepare the meat and kill the cattle, they make a few quid. The poor old farmer doesn't get a huge amount at all out of it. And he's the one who has to keep the cow in the field for years, feed it, look after it, call the vet for it. Anyway, I want to know what you think. What is the solution to the lack of farmers, particularly young farmers in Ireland? And not only that, the EU have now made it so difficult for farmers with a lot of land in particular, the Habitat Directive, all of that kind of stuff. They've made it, climate change has made it so difficult for them. All these new processes have made it more expensive for them. I'm not saying some of these processes are necessary. They are, of course, some of them are necessary. They're not all necessary. But we've made it so difficult for farmers to do their job. So what's the solution? What do you think is the solution to the lack of farmers, particularly young farmers? 4.3% of farmers under the age of 35. The average farmer is nearly 60 years of age now. That doesn't surprise you, I'm sure. But let me know what you think. The number, as usual, 087-188-0008. 087-188-0008. You can WhatsApp us. Just WhatsApp, let me on. And we'll try and let you on. And let me know whose fault this is. Who's at fault? And what can we do to fix this? Let me go to John if I can first. John, hi, how are you?
Well, how are you? Good evening.
Good. John, farming is one of our most precious industries. It's one of our most important industries. But it's falling down. What are we going to do to build it back up?
It's as you said at the start, like, lads, I'm in the early 20s myself. There's no incentives for young lads to become a farmer. Well, there's too many obstacles in the way. You need to have a lot. You need to have land anyway. First of all, people in Ireland can't even get a mortgage. It's so hard to get a mortgage. So mm-hmm. you couldn't buy farmland, you know. I think what really killed it, like, over the last decade has been the way the government has treated farmers in regards to tax. And then food's been outsourced by different companies, different countries, sorry, different, and the price has gone down, like the price of cattle, the price of lamb, everything like that. It's just gone crazy. There's so many things that people don't think of when it comes to being a farmer. Like alone just fuel and feed for your herd or whatever it is that you have. You have taxes on your land, taxes on your vehicles. You have taxes on every single thing you can get. And there's no subsidies at all for farmers. And so there's no incentive for them.
Well, there are subsidies. There are some subsidies. Depends on what you do.
But not, it's just not enough. And it's a bit too late. Because,
Would you be able to be a farmer? Do you think you'd be able for getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning?
I'm going
to
be honest. No, I wouldn't be able for it. And I know lads that are farmers, like, personally, and it's hard graft. It's 365, 24/7. There's no breaks, there's no holidays, there's no stopping it. You know, and you're on your own. You're on your own. And it, like, even for the likes of wee farmers, or like for crops like that, if they miss a day or it's bad weather or anything like that, they're ruined, you know. And so it's a lot to take on. Like, so I would definitely wouldn't take on that myself.
I couldn't do it. It's not my bag. But the problem
where
is,
where would I get the land?
It's not really up to you to get the land and what have you, right? Here's the thing. The way farming has worked for decades and decades is the dad passes the farm on to the son, you know, or the sons or whatever, right? They've had that land for generations in their family, right? 300-400 acres or whatever it is. But now the problem is that the sons and the daughters don't want it. They're saying, Dad, I want to go to Trinity. I want to learn to, you know, play with computers, or I want to do graphical design, or I want to do... So they don't want to do farming.
Yeah, well, they've been growing up looking at their parents, and especially, as I said, over the last decade or so, struggling to keep the farm alive.
I mean, there used to be a saying years ago, there's no such thing as a poor farmer. But that's gone. That's outdated now.
Well gone.
Yeah.
Well gone.
Yeah, there's loads of poor farmers now.
Like, I could honestly say, if you've watched your parents or your father or mother, whoever, struggle over years, working nearly around the clock, 24/7, 365, to sustain just enough to keep going. Like, would you want to do it yourself?
No, you'd only want to do it if there was enough money in it and you could afford to hire staff, like farmhands, etc.
Exactly. Yeah.
But here's the problem. If farmers were to charge that much for their meat and their dairy, you know, we'd be moaning when it's on the shelves and milk costs twice as much or meat costs twice as much. So they have to try and keep the prices down. By doing that, they're killing themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you see, like, they're trying to fight for the likes to get the big shops to buy their meat.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how they drop their prices as well. They'll drop...
They're also competing against imported beef now as well, which is a big problem for them. You know?
Well, like, the government kind of would need to put some sort of regulation on the prices that the shops are kind of, like, shops would be lowballing, you know, like, big business, you know, they'd be lowballing farmers. Farmers are, like, struggling, they're making nothing, like, off say, like, cows, like, just selling them, like, they're not making as much as they would have been years ago. And, like, I think the government would be able to step in some way and that and put, a cap on prices, you know. But just, there's too many things that the government has helped with in this country, bar its own, and like, if they spent, as I said to Molly on the phone, if they spent half as much on farmers as they have done importing people into the country, there'd be probably a lot more farmers, you know.
Yeah.
But more and more and more, day after day, like, and I know I worked with a fella that was a farmer. He worked in the garage all day, 8 to 5, and went home to his farm and worked the farm every night, you know, every weekend. I wouldn't be able for it. Like, it's just...
And as you mentioned earlier on... there's no rest. You don't go on holidays.
There's no rest.
No.
I've seen him stressed. And it's like, I was looking and saying, why you do this? Like, but once you're in, like, he inherited the farm, you know? Like, he couldn't just sell up and...
No.
that let that be it, you know.
Because there's cost involved in keeping the land. And the, like people say, oh, well, why didn't you just, you know, build houses on the land and be done with it and make a fortune? You can't. You're not allowed.
It costs you more, yeah.
Well, you're not allowed. You won't get planning. Most, like people say, oh, I know a farmer and he has 1,000 acres of land. He must be worth a fortune. He has 1,000 acres of land. No, he's not. 1,000 acres of land for farming is probably worth nothing. It's probably a liability, actually. Because you can't build on it. You're not allowed.
You have to maintain the land, like.
Exactly. You have to go around fixing the fences on it, the drainage in it, yeah. You know, making sure that the cows are out there, keeping the grass short. There's so much to be done.
Yeah. And, like, it really, I think the only solution to it, like, so it is gonna just drop and drop. I don't think, well, it's going to be a boom in farming, like, you know, if something changes. Like, I don't think that's going to happen, to be honest with you.
Stay there a second. Let me go to Michal. Yeah. Michal, hi, how are you?
I see you get to see from the Easter Club.
I guess come as a tattoo.
A lot of points that are very relevant. But one thing you're missing as well is young farmer, a farmer 25, 26 year old, he has to be able to go out to the social life. Who in the name of Jesus, as a girl, would marry a farmer that is a 7 day a week coming into the mucky boots and the smell of the farm off him? What girl of today, she's had a handy job, she's working her life off of here and there, the chemist farm she's working on. Who would want to marry a farmer in today's world? I come from the wilds of Galway, and I could tell you that there's two farmers on me at home now. Like farmers on me at home, farmers average, maybe they have 60 or 80 acres or less. They kept the cow, the chili bit, and the sold off everything else. And like that, the taste, the quality of it was par excellence. The quality of everything that grew, everything that they sold, it was top quality. But today, like it's all mass produced. You go into the shop, I buy your carrot, your fruit, your veg, or everything. It's not mass grown. Flavor doesn't. It doesn't identify.
Well, that depends on where you buy your meat and how you buy your meat. I always buy it in the butchers.
You will buy your hold on. We're going to get the butcher now. That's because
of. But I know there's very few butchers around these days. That's the problem.
There's very few butchers around, and the butchers will be able to identify the meat as well. Work in the factors. I can tell you about the meat. There's nothing I can tell you on that end of it. But the quality of the beast was produced years ago. And it's still produced because we have the best grass. I think we probably have the best grass in the world. Because we're
it's well known. We're renowned. I mean, I've said it for years. No matter where you go in the world, you will never get a sirloin steak like you get in Ireland. You will never get a pork sausage like you get in Ireland. So you understand? We know that. But here's the problem. Most farmers now are 60 years of age. Your line is very bad, Michal. It's very difficult to hear you.
The farmers are very few nowadays because the quality is all big farmers as well. They are producing great beef, but like it's the massive amount of imports. Perhaps the cycle of a deal that's now with Argentina or Brazil or something like that. And Mother Moses could be used after doing it. It'll knock the lights out of Irish beef, even though we have. You go to a shop today to buy Irish beef, and the price is like a couple of euros dearer than this Argentinian beef. Are you going to that extra? Do you have the extra euros to pay the good meat? It's all what's in your pocket, and people doing the shopping today don't have the extra euros to go for the cheaper meat. Therefore, the Irish beef is not.
Yeah, that's the government's fault for making the Irish farmer be priced out of the market, essentially. Look, I have to go to break. Sorry, Michal, it's very hard to hear your line there for some reason. Thank you to John and Michal. The question I'm going to ask you, and I'm asking people, is how do we fix this problem? It is a big problem. The average farmer, the figures out today from the CSO, the average farmer is 60 years of age. Only 4.3% of farmers are under the age of 35. The number of farmers in Ireland has dropped over the last decade. And it's not a surprise. Who would want to be a farmer in this? I mean, the money just isn't in it anymore. I mean, to have, you know, 100 acres of land nowadays, it's just a liability more than anything else. You're working just to keep the land maintained. So I don't know what's going to happen to the farming industry. Just to get into this topic a little bit more, and for those of you who just joined us, we're talking about the average age of a farmer now being nearly 60. For 59 years of age, only 4.3% under the age of 35. The farming industry is certainly under threat. Here in Ireland, it's our best industry, our most precious industry. We're known all over the world for our farming industry, for our beef, for our cattle, for our sheep, for everything. Even our little sausages that we send over, our rations and sausages that we send over to our cousins in America. Well, we used to certainly do that anyway. So what do we do to save it when young people just don't want to be farmers anymore? How do we encourage them? How do we entice them? How do we make it more attractive? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. One man who seems to know, and he certainly does know, an awful lot about farming is Jackie Healy-Ray, independent councillor in Kerry. Hi, Jackie. How are you?
Hello, Niall. Good to speak to you again.
Nice to speak to you. And I see the Healy Rays did well again in the election. Sure, why wouldn't they? You know what I mean?
Well, look, we're obviously very grateful to the people that voted for us in the local elections, first of all, and more recently, then again, in the general election.
What? Is there a secret? Is there a magic secret? You need to let me know, because I probably needed that during the European elections. Is there a magic secret to getting elected? Because the Healy Rays have known it for years.
There's no magic beans, I'm afraid, that can be dished out. But I just think it comes down to a very simple thing called hard work, Niall.
And it does. And knowing what the people want and the locals in the area. Correct. And the Healy Rays have been accused of that in a negative way in the past. But I think it's a very positive thing to serve the people of their constituency, because that's exactly why they get voted for. Now, to get back to the farms, you're a man who's on the farm on a regular basis. 59 years of age, according to CSO today, is the average age of a farmer. It's getting older and older. No young people coming into the industry, only 4.3% under the age of 35. What's the problem, Jackie?
One of the biggest problems, and we spoke about it today in a meeting that we had with the Tarnished and Micheál Martin in regards to talks for the formation of government, was about the regulation that's in place for farmers. And I suppose one thing that has got progressively harder over the decades now is the fact that nearly every farmer needs a secretary now, Niall, because there's so much paperwork, so much red tape involved in the different schemes throughout farming. And there's so many new schemes introduced, and there's so much paperwork. If you'll go into any farm in the country, be it a dairy farm or a beef farm or whatever type of farm it is, the amount of documentation that is following each animal, the amount of documentation that's following vaccination of animals through and testing of animals, it would frighten you. And that is a very laborious task on not just farmers themselves, but also their families. Another thing is that farmers, unfortunately, younger people who are looking to get into farming, be it their fathers are farming, or they're taking over a farm from an uncle or whatever it may be, they're finding it more and more difficult to see a viable living being made off farming.
What's the average wage? What's the average wage of a farmer in Ireland?
I think there was a study done, Niall, not too long ago, that showed that the average wage of a farmer after what we'd call paying their bills and everything was far below what we'd call the industrial living wage.
Right.
If you put me to the pin of my collar to say how much that was, I couldn't.
Yeah, I think you're right. I heard it was somewhere around 35,000. Yeah.
Yeah, it was something very, very small in terms of the work that's going in on every farm throughout the country. But and that's why I'm saying that, like, if you're farming at the moment, it's very few people, especially in my county of Kerry, you have very few people who are what we call full time farmers. Every farmer is nearly doing something else. They have a job to supplement their job on the farm. And that's why younger people my own age, I'm only 29, people my own age are finding it more difficult to say, God, this is something that I want to get into, because the wage, the money that can be made and the living that can be made off it isn't what they can.
No, they'd be far better off going to Trinity and studying computers or something like that.
Exactly.
I don't know. Yeah.
But isn't
that part of the problem too? That, you know,
a plaster or something.
Okay, but in this new world, you know, the younger generation, the Gen X or whatever they call themselves these days, you know, they're more interested in technology, AI, computer programming, app development, all, and they don't want to walk around at 5 o'clock in the morning milking cows. They want to sit behind a computer. So isn't that part of the problem too?
No, I think to counter that, there's many households that I visit throughout my council work, and even more recently throughout the general election, when you're walking into people's farmyards, and after every farmer, you're seeing young lads with them, and be they boys or girls, that are helping their fathers and mothers on the farm. And I suppose my point in that is the people are there now, but they don't have confidence that they can make a sustainable living off of what we call small family farms. And that's where the crux of the issue is.
Will it be helpful at all? Is it going to be helpful at all that the Green Party were practically annihilated in the elections? Is that going to be helpful to the farmers of Ireland? Because the farmers of Ireland tell me they blame the Green Party for a lot of the extra costs over the last decade.
And look, but I suppose look at things that are happening now in Europe, for example.
Yeah, with the Mercosur agreement.
Look at for yourself with the Mercosur deal. And while I'm glad that the government here have seemed to be taking what I call a proper stance against it in terms of its introduction, and our MEPs, to the best of my knowledge, did vote against this the other day in the Parliament. Like, that is helpful, but it's something that we need to maintain because, as you know, the farming associations here in Ireland have talked about the dangers of such a deal. And if you're going to have a situation where our farmers are being held, and rightly so, to a very high standard, but we also produce what I'd call the best beef, not just in Europe, but in the world. Mm-hmm. And in doing so in what we could say a far more environmentally friendly way than what's being done in South America. Mm-hmm. Because what's happening in South America is deforestation in order to expand their herd so that they can have enough cattle to pump beef into the European market. Beef that we don't need and beef that we don't want. Because the beef that we're producing here in this country and being exported throughout Europe and throughout other places in the world is a far superior product than that any other country could produce. And why we'd want to be putting ourselves in a situation to hurt that or to affect it or to dilute it in the market is crazy. But like I say, I'll always give credit where credit is due. And the government and government representatives have been out over the last number of days saying that they're not in favour of what's being recommended by Ursula von der Leyen and her.
But you know as well as I do that will go through. You know that will go through. I know our Irish MEPs on this occasion have come through with the goods, but I believe that will go through. And we are going to end up with, you know, Tesco's and Dunn's and everyone else having Brazilian and Argentinian beef on the shelves competing with Irish farmers.
Well, look, at the moment, all we can go with is what is out there at the moment.
And so how do we... Here's a big problem, right? Yes. I went out the other day and I bought two steaks, two sirloin steaks, for me and the missus, for dinner. Mm-hmm. They weren't big steaks. They were just a small, you know, average-size steak, I don't know, about 5-6 inches long, whatever, right? And the two steaks cost me 14 or 15 quid, right? Like, I have never heard of paying that much for steaks. Now, I probably didn't buy it in the best shop. I probably just should have looked for a butcher's. But anyway, so here's the point. If we're to make or to get the farmers to get more money, because you know as well as I do, everybody has to get a slice of that 14 quid, right? The shop gets it, the haulage company gets it, the driver of the and the van that brings it there gets it, you know, the abattoir gets it, the packing gets it, farmer gets damn all, right? So how do we get the farmer a better deal to make farming more attractive without affecting the price of it on the shelf?
Yeah. Well, look, I suppose the reason that the prices on the shelves have gone so high is because the input costs for everybody has gone so high. If you start with the farmer themselves, the input costs, be it fertilizer, be it feed for the cattle or whatever it may be, all those costs have gone up enormously. If you move on
Now let's go through these one by one. Those costs that have gone up for the farmer, are a lot of those costs unnecessary?
How do you mean?
In your view, I mean, I know there's been an awful lot of regulations brought in relation to climate change, nitrates and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, is a lot of it unnecessary? I understand some of it is necessary, environmentally necessary.
Well, but I wouldn't say that some of it is even outside of that remit. It's just the cost of doing business, Niall, has got so much bigger. And that's not just in farming, but in every other aspect of business. Because remember, farming is a business as well. And like the input costs for those people have gotten higher. Like I say, even the likes of the cost of fertilizer and all that. But when you move on to the next stage of it then, and when it comes to the transport costs, the input costs again for haulage companies have gone higher because the price of fuel is higher. The price of keeping your vehicle on the road has got a lot more expensive. And wages for drivers and all that have got a lot more expensive. So all that is having an effect on the end cost for the consumer. When it hits the shelf, well, obviously, if all those input costs have gotten higher, then obviously, when Niall will go to buy his steak, that eventual cost be it what it might have been before.
It's double what it was five years ago. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that is an obvious thing that's going to happen. But, like, if we are going to incentivize and attract younger people into farming, you have to be able to show them, Niall, that they can make a sustainable living for themselves off
the farm. I mean, you heard the news yesterday that the average for a family of four, two adults, two children, are paying €35 extra this year versus last year for the Christmas dinner. Most of that Christmas dinner comes from the farm. So that £35 extra in one year, for two adults and two children for the Christmas dinner. I mean, that's way beyond the cost of living, or the inflation rate. So why are we seeing farmers more so than anybody being hit by inflation harder? It seems to be. That's because meat, and as I said, those two steaks, I would have bought those two steaks for half that price 3 or 4 years ago. So why are we seeing, you know, meat, dairy products, cream, all those kind of things, you know, the turkey, whatever it is, going up so high so quickly?
I would say that a lot of it is down to, again, what we just spoke about, the input costs that are facing farmers. Because, again, if it's costing more for the farmers to produce the end product, well, then obviously the end product is going to be more expensive when it hits the shelf, because you have, again, the logistical costs that are coming into it from haulage and the transport and all those different sectors. So that's all going to have an effect on the end product. But I suppose, yes, you do have things that are within the remit of government and departments, which is like things that you spoke about there, carbon taxes and things like that, that are driving up the price of fuel, which again is used to transport from A to B and used to facilitate the producing of the product. Because again, you need petrol, you need diesel in order to operate your farm, be it the farm machinery or whatever it may be. So they are all different things, Niall, that are leading into what we call a higher income.
Okay, so we kind of know where all the problems are. And of course, we never mentioned the Habitat Agreement either. Or, you know, we never mentioned that. And that's another cost factor that a lot of farmers were against. Well, so we know all the reasons why people don't want to go into farming. So how do we fix it? Because we have to protect farming. It's our best industry. You know, it's our most precious industry. Mm-hmm. Because we're the best in the world at it. So how do we protect farming, and how do we encourage, you know, young farmers to take over the farming business from their dads and uncles?
We have to stop talking down to our farmers in the fashion that they've been doing over the last 10 years and telling farmers that they're the problem, because they're not. They're actually part of the solution. Because farmers by themselves, without being dragged, kicking and screaming, have actually been doing more to progress farm. Because if you look at different technologies that have been adapted on farms, be it through the dairy sector, through be the beef sector, when it comes to producing beef or milk in their farms, they're progressing, we'll say, with modern technology without having to be told what to do or how to do it, because they're doing it themselves now. It's no more than when the government came up with the brainwave to say that they were going to stop people cutting turf, right?
Were talking about it earlier on.
Yes, but whether they liked it or not, the people who were burning turf today, those people were going down in numbers. So in other words, people my own age today, when they're building a house, they'll probably build a house that don't even have a chimney. So they're not going to be burning anything anywhere. Because they're not going to have a chimney, because they're not going to have an open fire with all the new modern technologies. So the people who are burning turf and who are still burning turf today, those people sadly will leave us, and the tradition of probably turf cutting and burning of turf
will eventually die out anyway. Yeah,
exactly. It would die out anyway by default without the government doing anything. But what the government actually turned around and were responsible for were people who never cut turf, and people who hadn't cut turf for years turning around and going to the bog in more numbers than ever before. And there's more turf inside in sheds around the country now
than there ever was. I know, I know.
Yes, and being burnt because of that.
Yeah.
So again, my point in saying that is that farmers will progress and will adapt with the modern technologies of the world. They're doing it without being told by government, and have been doing it. And they'll continue to do that. But this thing of lecturing farmers and telling them that you're part of the problem rather than actually being part of the solution. Because my father always says, He says that the farmers are the custodians of the land. And he's right, because the real environmentalists are our farmers, because they mine the land, they nurture it, and they're only caretakers of that until they'll pass it on to the next generation. As long as we'll make sure that there is a generation of people who can see that they have a sustainable living on a small family farm, then they will take that over and they'll do what the people did before them.
Well, I have to say it's very interesting. Before you go, Jackie, I don't know whether you've heard the news tonight that Gavin Newsom in California has declared a state of emergency because of the bird flu. And now in Wisconsin, they're saying that they believe it's been passed on to the first human being. Oh, here we go again. Yeah, like clockwork. Anyway, from a farmer's point of view, bird flu, is that something that's really affected us badly at all? I know it's different countries, it's affected them differently. Bird flu, has it affected us?
Am I not right in saying that somewhere in the more north of the country at some stage last year that there was a bad, they hit poultry pretty badly? I think towards the end of last year, I think up in places like Monaghan and things like that, I know there's a lot of poultry farms up that side of the country. I think there was issues with some sort of thing, but I have to say, you're the first person that's after telling me that now. So
well, there you go. State of emergency in California. That. State of emergency. Well, mind you, there's a few conspiracy theories going around at the moment, and a lot of them have to do with Donald Trump. Anyway, but listen, I thought I'd just throw it in there because it looks like it's going to be a big story tomorrow that there's they're declaring a state of emergency because of bird flu. But listen, Jackie, thank you very much indeed. Best of luck. Continued luck on the farm. All right. Thank you.
Thanks. All the best.
There you go. Jackie Healy-Ray. One of the Healy Rays, one of the many Healy Rays who have been elected and voted for over the years. They're so successful when it comes to politics because it's what they call parish pump politics, isn't it? They look after their own. They look after the locals. Anyway, and you heard what he said. We're making it difficult. Just let the farmers do what they do best. Stop bringing in rules and regulations. They'll eventually adapt themselves. That's what they do. We're making it so difficult and so costly for them to do their job that no one wants it when they're finished. And I understand completely what he's saying. Donal, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you?
Good, Donal. Donal, I was quite sad when I heard this story, you know, about how old the average Irish farmer was, because when somebody said it to me, I was thinking maybe 40, 50, but 59, they're dying out.
Right. I have to say, Jackie Healy took a lot of my points, but I've been scribbling down shorthand with the last 10 minutes. I have a rake of points, but I know we'll finish before 11 o'clock. Don't worry about that.
No, you far away. You take all the time you want there. Go on.
Right. First of all, I suppose, the income is probably not. Look, I'll make a few points why they're not going farming, first of all, but I'd like to issue the positives as well, if I can.
Yeah.
Okay, the income isn't big enough in a lot of farms, not all farms. Like, you must remember now, there are several sectors in farming in this country. Dairying is probably the most profitable, and that's what I'm involved in here, down in County Cork. But
tillage farming?
Tillage would be difficult to make a lot of money out of.
Okay.
An awful lot of people are doing it because they love doing it. They love doing it. And, you know, I've had this conversation with farmers and farmers' wives over the years whose children didn't want to go farming. The advantage is, if a fella goes farming, you're literally automatically going to get planning for a house.
Yeah.
That's one point. Now, if you were to buy a site in a rural Ireland, you're talking about possibly 200,000 euros.
Mm-hmm.
As well as that, then, even if you're on 100,000 euro a year, what you are, in effect, you're being a battery hen behind the computer inside the technology park. You're travelling an hour to work. You're probably spending 100 euros on diesel, not mind the stress and strain of traffic lights and dealing with traffic. While if you're living in a farm, I tell you, I travel 200 yards to work and I'd be complaining about it. 200 yards.
Yeah, and you'd be going, "Jeez, it's cold this morning."
Yeah, cold. I'd be frozen. Well, I'd be frozen anyway. But I do think we're talking down farming a small bit too much. And I suppose, look, life, society has changed. Maybe people aren't willing to put in the hours like they were one time. But I'll tell you, there's a lot worse places to be than on the farm. there's a lot in the workplace.
And is the income good for a dairy farmer? I don't want to know your personal salary, by the way, or your much money.
The income, well, you know, there was no such thing as a rich farmer down my part of the country, but if you were to average it out, look, it depends on the standard of farming and how good you are at it. But I know people with 50, 60 cows, and they're making 60, 70, 80,000 a year.
Is that after expenses now, or is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Okay. I suppose a rule of thumb, assuming that you're doing things reasonably right, would be 1,000 euros a cow.
Yeah.
So if you've 100 cows, which a lot of fellas have now, you're talking about 100,000 euros a year.
By the way, pardon my ignorance, Donal. Right? Pardon my ignorance here. Okay.
No problem.
But when you're a dairy farmer, what happens to the cow when they, you know, when they kind of get too old to be giving you milk? Are they sold off then for meat?
They're sold off for meat.
Okay, so they can use them for meat, because somebody was telling me before, no, they don't do that. So I was just wondering. Okay. Okay, so a dairy farmer can make up to 60 grand a year. So then why aren't young people interested in the job of being a dairy farmer?
Because, look, you get 60,000 a year now after 3 years in college, and you get it for maybe 35-hour week, and you've more time for social thing, which is important to a young person.
So what's going to happen then in 20 years' time, when the average farmer, let's say, is going by the stats at the moment and the pattern at the moment is nearly 70? Right. What's going to happen in 20 years' time when, you know, the average farmer is past retirement age? He's crippled out on the farm. You know what I mean?
Nothing happens in this country or in any country without political will. And that's where the regulations have to, or the incentives have to come. And I suppose, being fair, farming has gone down the list in pecking order, because, you know, the multinationals have come in and they're employing, I think there's 4,000 or 5,000 people in Apple and Cork. I'll just give you one example. But the one fear, you know, before farmer sons and daughters leave the farm and going away to the city, to the big smoke, we call it.
Yeah. Get up to Dublin and get a job. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What about buying a house in Dublin?
Yeah. No, I know.
You know, what about the cost of living in Dublin? Like, the cost of living in the farm is a fraction of the cost of living in Dublin. And this is what I'll say to you. Will the multinationals be there in years to come?
Oh, yeah. No, I'd be very concerned about that, particularly with Donald Trump becoming president and he's encouraging them back to America. Yeah,
I'll tell you something. No matter what happens in this country, the farmers will be there after all of them.
But you're saying that, but looking at the stats, I'm worried about it, because the number of farmers has dropped. The farmers are getting older. You know, so I'm worried about that. You're saying they'll still be there, but will they? I mean, the future of farming, when you've seen an increase of veganism and vegetarianism as well, which probably hasn't helped. Yeah. You know, you've seen, Green Party implement so many regulations. The EU implement regulations, including, by the way, the Habitat Directive and, coming in soon, the Mercosur Agreement. I mean, all these things are going to have a detrimental effect on farming in Ireland. You know, so, I mean, it's tougher. The business is tougher than it used to be. Not so much for you, because you're a dairy farmer. Well, you still have regulations, newer regulations than you would have had 20 years ago.
Granted, but, you know, you are your own boss to a fair degree. And there's a big difference being your own boss out in the country. I know you are answerable to the co-ops and you are answerable to various regulations, but it's a lot easier than working inside in a factory situation and you'd have domineering bosses and, you know, they'd be walking behind you. Whether you're a salesperson, whatever, demanding more and more production from you, you know, like, they're not half the stress as would be in other sectors.
Stay there for a second, Donal. Let me go to Alan. Go to Mike as well. Alan, hi. How are you?
Hey, Niall.
How you doing? You're not a farmer, that's for sure.
No, I'm not. But I'm not far from. I'm living around with a lot of farms.
Right, okay.
And one of the problems we have with Europe and the Green Party agenda was they disincentivized farming to a greater extent in order for us to get off the land and rely on more quick, fast imports, a lot of South American importation, which is likely to come in the next few years.
Yeah, that's going to get worse. Yeah.
And we have the Green Party that decimated farmers over the past 5 years. They literally made it impossible for normal farming to carry on without all this green agenda and global warming and all this kind of stuff is really hypothetical, and it's actually costing a fortune to implement.
Well, now, they did give some subsidies. I know when they brought in the Habitat Directive, there wasn't any subsidies, but there was some subsidies given to farmers in relation to a lot of those changes.
Yeah, I know, but now the farming is a dying tradition.
Sadly, when you look at the stats, it seems to be all right, yeah.
It looks like we're going into a situation now, Niall, where we'll be relying on mainly imported food. And the grand farm of milk and creamery and dairy products will all become a distant memory. And we'll have all unregulated food that's in our presses and in our...
Well, we'll be all sitting there drinking soya milk, from Brazil.
When you see now, we're going down the line where everything will be...
Have you ever drank soya milk, by the way?
I would never drink it. I don't drink milk anyway. I only drink tea and coffee.
Well, what do you put in your tea and coffee? Milk, I assume.
Yeah, but I don't drink milk as raw. I never do.
Well, very few people do drink milk raw. Some people do, but most people just use it for their tea, for their coffee, for their cream.
Yeah, whatever. I use it for my tea and coffee and my cereal.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
But we're going into a situation now where we're in uncharted territory and we're going into the American market. Look what happens in the food sources in America. It's shocking. There's no regulations for what they can put in your food in America, and they're going to do that here.
No, like, I think Bobby Kennedy wants to change all of that, and I don't disagree with him, by the way, in relation to what they're putting into the food. I think Europe at least has had better regulations around that. Alan, just stay there for a second. Let me just go to Mike as well. Mike, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
Mike, you know a lot about the farming and why the numbers are dropping.
Well, look, I suppose in terms of if you look at the farming sectors, and a lot of your speakers have spoken about all the challenges and some of the positives. Just in terms, I mean, the vast majority of farmers in Ireland are dry stock farmers, so they're either farming cattle or sheep or a mixture of both. And we've been looking at figures and data on that for a long, long number of years. And basically, it's an income issue, you know. So on larger farms, and in particular in the more profitable sectors, it's probably easier for successors to participate in the farming simply because there's an income there for two. You know, so a lot of dairy farms, there will be an income there for with the father and the son when he or son or daughter leave college to basically participate in the farm and get an income from it. If you take the average income from the dry stock sector, you know, it's less than 28,000 euros, so it varies.
I heard that figure. I heard that figure being challenged. I think it was the Tonight Show or somewhere, and that figure being challenged. The 28,000. I think it was who was it? From Aintu, Pádraig Tobin had mentioned that figure, and somebody challenged him on that figure, saying that wasn't the figure. The figure was more closer to 35,000. But I don't know. Either way, even if it was 35, that's still very low.
No. I don't think the figures are there, and the National Farm Survey is carried out every year, and it will show you those figures, and that's published data, you know.
Young person's going to want to work for that kind of money.
So, well, the reality of it is, you know, first of all, we don't have a lot of those really big farms that, you know, you were talking about there at the start, you know, people with 300 and 400 acres. They're quite large farms in an Irish context. You know, most farms are probably in the, you know, 70-80 acre bracket. And then I suppose the issue is, if you've got somebody who's farming, and there's an income there of you know, sub 20,000, which is where it is for most dry stock farms. You know, where is the income for a son or daughter to come home and participate in that? You know, the reality is most of them have to go and get an off-farm job, and maybe that's, you know, somewhere else. And by the time the father is ready to retire, the parents are ready to retire and hand it over, you know, the son or daughter coming after them are in their 40s and have made their life, you know, maybe somewhere else, and it's not as attractive.
That's actually a really good point, and I just want to go back to Donal on that, because Donal was the one saying, you know, in a good dairy farm you can do 60 grand after expenses. Donal, you know, Mike makes the point, 60 grand is all well and good if you're working on your own, but if you're trying to bring somebody into the industry like your son or daughter, it's not going to pay a second income.
True, I understand that. And I'm not trying to talk up or talk down. I'm only giving you my own experience, my own. And the 60,000 figure I give you wouldn't be what every dairy.
No, no, I know that. Yeah, yeah.
People who are good at it, you know. But I would like to say one point. An awful lot of people inside the city, including yourself, and I'm not trying to be smart to you, and you said, pardon my ignorance, but where do the cows go?
Yeah.
You know, when they,
oh, no, we haven't a clue. We haven't. Most of us city dwellers haven't a clue.
Yeah, the late Gay Borden from RTE, when he was young and he was walking along South Circular Road in Dublin, wherever that is, I don't know. Uh-huh. And he see the milk bottles outside the doors where the milkman dropped them off. And he thought the cows just laid the milk bottles.
Poor old Gay Borden.
So an awful lot of people inside in Dublin 4 or, you know, outside the farmland country, they don't understand anything about food production. They don't even understand where meat comes from, a lot of them.
Yeah, look, obviously I'm aware where the meat comes from, but I didn't know whether you could still use, after you've used a dairy cow for so long for meat production, whether the meat would be tender or whatever it is. So I didn't know whether that was still used or whether it was of the same value.
Well, look, I was talking to a neighbour of mine who went on holidays, and he's a farmer. So farmers do go on holidays, a lot of them.
So who looks after the farm? If you're a dairy farmer and you're on your own, who looks after the farm?
This fella had two sons.
Okay.
But he was out in France on holidays, and he had Irish beef, and he went to great lengths to find out what was that beef, and it was dry cow beef.
Right.
That's what it was.
Yeah, see, the thing about it is, Mike, you can't beat good Irish beef. You can't beat Irish farming. Yeah. It's an industry we really need to protect. Mike, in 20 seconds, tell me how we can protect the industry and how we can encourage people into it. I know 20 seconds is not a long time.
Yeah, look, that's the challenge, isn't it? And that's, you know, the big issue, I think, is income. You know, and in real terms, if we go back and look at the income on a beef farm, on a cattle rearing farm, say 20 years ago, it was probably about 20% of the average industrial wage. Whereas now it's probably about 15, you know, maybe down heading for 10%. So the reality is, from an income importance point of view, the income from farming is shrinking, given that most of the dry stock sector are part-time. And then basically, you know, I suppose it's harder to encourage people in. So if income is an issue, it's a challenge for the industry, it's income.
Okay, well, listen, Donal, Mike, and sorry, Alan, I didn't get back to you. Alan, thank you very much indeed. And thank you to Jackie Healy, Ray, and everybody else that was all involved in that, because it is a sad story, you know, when we see that the average farmer is now 59 years of age and farming is dropping. Because young people just don't want to go into it, but we need to encourage them into it. We need to protect the industry.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.